gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning and a sound welcome to you. It is Hal Sparks filling in on the Stephanie Miller Show all this week for you, and I couldn't be happier to be here. In many ways, every time Steph goes out of town, something extraordinary happens. It's almost as if we need her to take vacations just so the never-ending drumbeat of the world, the unshifting march that we are all on, the foreign legion walk through the sand that is daily life on this planet, will not be can be thrown a monkey wrench so that it can actually differ from its day-to-day routine. And it's hard to pick right now what the top story is. There is so much going on and so much debate and detail to all this stuff, and we will really make our level, we'll do our level best to make some sense of it with you this morning. Now, the beginning of this, I mean, where do we even start? Smoke has driven crews out of the Japan nuclear plant. A new column of smoke rising from an overheating nuclear plant in Japan drove workers out of the smoldering site on Monday, denting hopes for a breakthrough in the post-quake atomic crisis. Heavy rain in the region disrupted rescue efforts and compounded the misery of tsunami survivors now fearing radioactive fallout from the wrecked Fukushima plant, which has suffered a series of explosions and fires. Chief government spokesman Yukio Edano said the government was halting shipments of milk and certain vegetables, including spinach, from regions around the plant after abnormal radiation levels were found in the product. I love that they bothered to wait till there were, you know, radiation levels in the food around, like, the second biggest radiation leak. And you know what I mean? Let's go check the food. It might still be good to sell. I'm going to say err on the side of caution. I'm going to say go out on a limb and chuck that stuff. I mean, most of us are concerned about E. coli, and we don't kind of go, well, I mean, this meat was just kind of sitting next to the E. coli meat. We kind of go, nah, anything in this part of this warehouse is out. And I think when you've got a spill of that level and drifting radioactive material that is literally shifting with the winds, I'm just saying, don't drink milk from that region right now. I don't want to depress the place economically, but I'm guessing even the residents aren't a big fan of of glow-in-the-dark milk. So, still a big negative shift. Apparently, the heat in there is getting near the boiling point, and if it reaches that point and they can't cool it down, it will express another plume of radioactive material. Whether or not it will melt down or not, or the meltdown will continue, is anybody's guess. The U.S. has sent in robotic aides into that facility. A company called iRobot, an American-based company, has had a request for special robots for this kind of situation that are sent in. Fascinating enough that we really do view as Japan as the most high-tech, you know, society, much less in industry country in the world, and yet it's American robots that are going in there to look in this facility. How much you want to bet that parts of it were built at some of the electronics factories that were damaged during this time? I mean, there's got to be some sort of fold happening in space-time right now with that happening. That being said, there's also U.S. fighter jet fell out of the sky. I don't know how else to describe it. Over Libya, the pilots ejected safely and were rescued. They are writing it up as a malfunction. I don't know that I ever believe those kind of statements, except for the fact that it was an F-16, and I believe, no, F-15, right? Which even still, even older, right? Yeah, F-15. Fighter jet, which I think is so old, it might have been parked there from the last time we bombed Libya, you know? It might have just been sitting there and they just blew the dust off it like a bunch of X-Wing fighters in a warehouse. 1-800-STEPH-12 is our number, by the way, and we will be taking your calls, but I want to play a piece of audio for you. This is from CNN. Fox yesterday said that Gaddafi was using CNN as human shields and sort of made the case that CNN was complicit in this. Now, CNN is notorious for never saying anything. They are one of my pet peeves, and I've been on there a few times, and I have sat in shock and amazement as there might be two of us on a panel or in a situation where we're actually trying to have a substantive conversation, and everyone else is trying to talk around it as if it doesn't exist. They should be the 800-pound gorilla network. A lot of times, just like, whatever you do, don't mention the obvious. I'm Wolf Blitzer, and there's a shark sitting on my desk, but don't talk about it. It'll just die if we leave it alone. It's very bizarre. That being said, I am a huge fan of Christine Romans, who's on Your Money. I wrote the foreword to her book, Smart is the New Rich. She's lovely, and I refer to her as the smart one, because in all the people I've met over there at CNN, not only is she the one who thinks the deepest, but also makes an attempt to take that deep thought and express it in a way that the layman can understand it, instead of just flat-out dumbing things down for an assumed Joe Sixpack that exists, like the rest of the CNN anchors have really been hired to do, and not the least of which is Wolf Blitzer, who you'll recall rose to fame and got his major status at CNN by hiding under a desk in Kuwait, I think, maybe covering the original Iraq War, and Qatar, I think it was. I want to say he was in Qatar for a time. Well, yeah, he went to Baghdad, but like he started as the, you know, doing field reports right at the when the troops were going in across the border. That was the big thing, and so he and again the most ironically named human being in news, Wolf Blitzer. When he looks like he should be a banjo player. Anybody named Wolf Blitzer should look like a character in Duke Nukem. That's my rule. That's my rule, and I'm sticking to it. So, yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, Fox had made this point that how dare CNN let themselves be stooges of the Gaddafi government, they were talking to, let's see, Wolf Blitzer was actually speaking with Nick Robertson, who was on the CNN team, who was in the compound in question where Fox made this silly, I don't even call it a story at this point. I can't make sense of what they are trying to say ultimately, but they're basically making the case that everybody but them is complicit in helping Gaddafi or helping Obama or both or something. Anyways, so I don't know when the last time I actually heard a CNN reporter say something unequivocal. Just say it. And this is kind of stunning. This is Wolf Blitzer talking to Nick Robertson. Take a listen.
You know, explain what you know about this suggested Fox News reporting that you, a Reuters crew, some other journalists were effectively used by Gaddafi as a human shield to prevent allied fighter planes from coming in and attacking a certain position. Explain what you know about this.
Wolf, this allegation is outrageous and it's absolutely hypocritical. You know, when you come to somewhere like Libya, you expect lies and deceit from a dictatorship here. You don't expect it from the other journalists. Why do I say that? Because Fox News has said that they didn't send somebody on this trip last night because they said it was a quote-unquote propaganda trip. They sent a member of their team. He was non-editorial. He was non-technical, not normally a cameraman. He was given a camera by the team and told to come out and come on the bus with the 40 other journalists who were there, who were free to get on the bus, free to get off the bus when they wanted. Told us when he was on the bus that even he, this member of the Fox team, was surprised that the correspondent and the normal cameraman weren't coming out, that he was being sent. This isn't his normal job, that he was being sent. So that's why I say what Fox is saying is outrageous and hypocritical. And the idea that we were some kind of human shields is nuts. I mean, if they had actually been there, Steve Harrigan, the correspondent here, is somebody I've known for many years. I see him more times at breakfast than I see him out on trips with government officials here. Other
Snap.
Correspondents here who go out regularly say the same things. NBC, CBS, all the other news teams here go out, not on all the government trips. We didn't go out on another one yesterday. But we very, very rarely see the Fox News team out on the trip. So for them to say and call this, to say they didn't go, and for them to call this and say this was government propaganda to hold us there as human shields when they didn't even leave the hotel, the correspondent didn't leave the hotel and go and see for himself, is ridiculous. We were taken there, we went in through the security, we filmed the building, we were given 15, 20 minutes to do that, 5 minutes at Gaddafi's tent, and then we were taken out. And I was literally physically pushed back on the bus when we left. That's how quickly the government officials wanted to get us out. If I sound angry, it is because I am. As I say, I expect lies from the government here. I don't expect it from other journalists. And it's frankly incredibly disappointing to me, Wolf.
Wow. I mean, really not mincing hairs. This is the fascinating part, and I'm curious to, I mean, no one within the sound of my voice who listens regularly to the Stephanie Miller Show or to my show on Saturdays on WCPT Radio in Chicago is shocked by the Fox News lies meme. As a matter of fact, it's been a rallying cry in Wisconsin, and the three truer words have hardly been yelled in a decade. But in this case, there's a little bit of breaking news in this. One is the Fox News correspondents do all their reporting without ever looking. It's the Sarah Palin version of constitutionality. It's the Sarah Palin version of world policy. Just don't bother. And then they send this guy out who, has no experience, clearly doesn't even know why he's there, with gear he can't operate. What's the difference between them accusing, in that case, if CNN was used as a human shield by Gaddafi, what's the difference between that and that guy being used as a human shield by the correspondents at Fox? Fox is literally sending this guy out into potential danger so that they don't damage any of their prom queens and cap-toothed weirdos that they call anchor people. It's amazing to me that, I mean, I'm not shocked like Nick Robertson is that there's lying. I think that's kind of I think personally if he sees this, well, we'll talk about it if we get back because we got to take a break. 1-800-STEP-12 is our number. Are you surprised? Does it change your attitude towards Fox anymore to know that their correspondents are only seen at breakfast and not in the actual field? Unless they're embedded by, Bush-supported troops, I suppose. We'll be back right after this. I'm Hal Sparks. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Hal Sparks. After a night, a day, of a 20-hour day, actually, I had yesterday, after doing the radio show, and going straight to a series of meetings, and then had sound check, and then straight to the 01 gig last night. We finished up about midnight, good times. And so if I have Law and Order voice, I apologize. If at any point I go, these are their stories, it'll sound, makes total sense. I'm beginning to know how that guy works. Let's talk to Mike in Chicago. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Hal? You know what's so scary is Nick Roberts' out naivete. You know, it's like when the 4.0 grade point student throws a rock through a window. That's so out of character.
Right.
For Fox, come on. I'd be more surprised if they didn't do this.
Well, I totally agree. And you notice in the same statement, he says they, what was it? I see this guy at breakfast. Yeah, I see Fox's correspondent more times at breakfast than out on trips with the government officials here. For them to say and call this, to say they didn't go, and for them to call this and say the government was propaganda to hold us there as human shields when they didn't even leave the hotel, it's ridiculous. He sees this guy. He knows this guy. He sees this guy's lack of action all the time. I think what it is that he sounds like a Democrat who's shocked at the unbelievable, unfairness of the Republican Party. You know, when they,
yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
No, totally. And you know what, Nick Roberts, the thing is his mistake was he used the word Fox and journalism twice in the same sentence.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I have one more question maybe you can answer, Hal. Seeing that Alan Greenspan, going off-roading for a sec, has never done one interview regarding the default swap and everything, when is MSNBC going to say, Andrea Mitchell, you're married to the Crypt Keeper. Can we ask you some questions?
Dude, I totally agree. I've made this case a few times, but as a standing point, the fact that they don't anytime a any kind of either Fed issue or even just quite frankly mortgage, currency exchange, even trade, I don't know why they don't recuse Andrea Mitchell or at least put a big blinking yellow banner under her name. This woman is married to Alan Greenspan. Alan Greenspan loves Ayn Rand.
He's in prison.
I know.
I don't know why he's not in prison.
I'll tell you why he's not in prison. Why the Bush administration and a lot of those guys aren't in prison. And it's not just because of a lack of, of people wanting to put them there or trying to take the court case there. It's because they create these Gordian knots of legal precedent for themselves while they're in position to protect themselves and insulate themselves. And when you're there for so long, you know, like Alan Greenspan was, you can create something that is so, it's just a series of cul-de-sacs legally that none of them lead to you. And and then it will eat guys under him who didn't do anything huge but are, you know, should be caught, because they're awful as well. But we'll never get the big fish because that's how big fish operate. You know, that's why we get most mafiosos on tax evasion.
Alan Greenspan has a line of patsies in front of him. You'll never get to
exactly. him. And even, you know, even the bank guys, you know, those guys have... You know, it's like corn shucks. You know, they're on the outside. They're meant to be peeled and thrown away. And they know that. And by the way, Wall Street, the reboot of Wall Street kind of pointed that fact out. I wasn't a big fan of that movie, but that was one of the cases that was made in that, you know, was that I can put anybody between me and the law. And especially the longer I'm here. And that's what's, by the way, that's what Gaddafi's doing. That's what the guys at BP do. That's what the guys at TEPCO are going to be doing when it comes to this nuclear facility. Some guy who, you know, a turnkey is probably going to eat it for the fact that these guys, you know, tried to undermine the safety of the nuclear reactors or what little safety there can be. So I think it's funny because there's this mix of naivete that we have to deal with in the part of people like Nick Robertson. And then on the other hand, you're like, this is so tied up. It's like Christmas lights, you know? So, anyways, thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it.
How about some Lemmy if you get a sec, Hal?
Okay, I'll insist. Tony is nodding with a big grin on his face. Okay, take care. Cheers, Mike. You know, that's the thing. I can't believe Nick Robertson, who's, an in-the-field reporter, British, with a, you know, a background in journalism from England, really has time for in his day to watch Fox News and go, oh my God, these people are mad. You know, I don't think he sits there and watch this. I'll just check out what the other guys are doing, just see what they're wearing. You know, just a little bit of industrial espionage. I'll just sit here and watch. Oh my God, this is a crazy person. Oh, another crazy person. Oh, I see. This is a lunatic bin. Never mind. I don't think he has a chance to catch up. I think he's around, assuming that I'm a reporter. The guy from ABC over here is a reporter. The guy from 60 Minutes is a reporter. I assume we're all here for the same purpose. And you go, I only notice that guy when there's fresh cheese danishes. And all of his reports say the same thing, and he never leaves the compound. You think he's coming up with his news stories, or do you think he's being fed them? That's the madness of it. We have to take a break. We'll be back after this. 1-800-STEP-12 is our number. And when I come back, we will deal a little bit with, I want to touch base, on the Wisconsin situation. I want to deal with Japan a tad. And then, of course, Libya ate us up yesterday, but I think there's a lot, you know, every day there's new news coming out of there. We'll be back right after this. It's Hal Sparks. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. To the Stephanie Miller Show. For the record, Mike, the caller, asked for Lemmy. He did not ask for Motorhead, so Tony pulled some Lemmy singing country, which I thought was a great sidestep. We will throw some real Motorhead in later, just to be fair. But important distinction, we take things pretty literal over here. When Hal Sparks fills in on the Stephanie Miller Show, we got to take you at your word. Let's go to Brooke in Fredericksburg, VA. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Hal. How are you today?
I'm terrific.
Good. What? Come in with the Motorhead. That'll be good later.
Absolutely.
I think that the deeper underlying reason why there was some lower level guy on that bus.
Uh-huh.
That was just a hedge on the part of Faux News in case something happened, that they would get some shots or whatever it would be. They held their regular team back in the interest of being able to paint all of the other journalists as being duped by the Gaddafi government.
Sure.
And get on the bus so we can make fun of you kind of thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And on top of that, I will say I think that they have a little bit of human shielding themselves. You know? I think they go, we can't, if let's say the bus gets blown up, we don't want to waste one of our cheerleaders, you know.
Yeah.
And they're expendable people.
They've done it on numerous occasions in the past.
Right.
The greater value is the way that we can portray others as opposed to keeping the public informed, even in a spun up way to be doing.
Exactly. Thanks for the call, Brooke. I'm losing you a little bit, so I'm gonna let you go. Thanks a ton. Excellent point. Let's go to I am not Michael. You are not actually going to talk about that on the air. This is Michael from L.A. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Yeah, normally I'd really be all about this news stuff, but I just need to know if you got a lap dance from Andy Cruz last night.
last night, 01 performed at the Whiskey, and during three of our songs for the uninitiated, we bring some go-go dancers up on stage with us.
Awesome.
We do My Pretty Parasite off the first record. We do a new song called Strange, and then we do a couple of cover tunes, which don't mention what they are because they're surprises for people who come see us live.
Oh, that's cool.
And Andy Cruz and a girl named Malice, who dances here in Los Angeles, and another girl, Allison, danced with them. They were fantastic last night. They were really fun. And they were more interested in Butterface than they were interested in me. We have a mascot on stage, which is a mannequin with a giant monster mask on. And we call her Butterface. And so she's always on stage with us. And they seemed more interested in her than I. I mean, I was, yeah. But I will say, to Annie's credit, she's really fun and a very smart girl.
Oh, she is.
She is. She's terrific. So thanks for busting me on the air when I'm trying to be serious, dude. Thanks, Michael. Talk to you later. Cheers.
Later.
Billy in Wimberley, Texas. Hey, Billy. Did we get him? We have him?
Listen, guys, I'm a little amused at your conversation this morning with regards to Fox News and quote-unquote prom queens and cheerleaders that they don't want to get a scratch on their pretty faces. These people that are reporting from Libya now, I'm sure were chomping at the bit to get that gig. They want to be out there. This is their job. And what better way for somebody who does that for a living to get their face on TV than to be there? You know, and for y'all to just blatantly attack Fox News over something like this is just silly.
Well, insofar as being silly, if everybody's chomping at the bit, why didn't the Fox correspondents, the ones that are actually the faces on the screen, go on these excursions? Why don't they leave the compound? Why?
Because they're already assigned to where they are.
What? They're assigned
they're
to the compound, eat Danishes, and sit there and report based on footage someone else gets? Why isn't it important for them to actually see what's going on? Are they just going to take the word of other reporters and just kind of, you know, rubber stamp it?
There's a chain of command in the news business, just like there is in the military. You've got front echelon and rear echelon people, just the way it works.
And okay, so why do all the other news organizations? Why do all the other news organizations send reporters that are actually making reports into the field, and Fox sends a guy who doesn't know how to use his gear and isn't his normal job out on the excursions, and then he sort of tells what he kind of saw, even though because he can't tape anything, he doesn't know how to operate the gear. He's not bringing back
the people that I see that are out front on places like CNN and all these other news corporations that don't have the following that Fox does. Those people, you know, I don't even know who those people are. I don't even recognize them. At least some of these people that I'm seeing on Fox News, I recognize.
Well, yeah, because none of them are ever in any
equipment. The guys, the face guys out there are not the guys that are supposed to be working the equipment, and this is dangerous work. I can imagine how
things can look, they're not just working the equipment. They're actually going and seeing the facility for themselves. They're seeing what's happening on the ground. They're reporting back what the actual people think and feel. They're interviewing people.
And they have a support staff that are working the equipment that are also under that kind of stress.
I don't know what you're kind of arguing for. I don't know what you think is a positive.
Well, I'm arguing against these ad hoc, you know, just attacks on Fox News.
It's not ad hoc. This isn't ad hoc. These are very specific charges by Nick Robertson, who's on the ground there, who was accused of Fox as being used as a human shield for the Gaddafi crowd. And then,
that's ridiculous.
What are you talking about? They actually
got such a problem with Fox News because.
Hang on. Did they or did they not say that? Did they or did they not say that CNN's reporters were being used as human shields for the Gaddafi?
Well, to be honest with you,
did Fox say
that? No.
Okay. They did.
Okay.
So Nick Robertson was directly responding. Nick Robertson was directly responding to the charges that Fox said that these reporters were being used as human shields. This is, by the way, on Fox, it's still on FoxNews.com. Exclusives. Libyans use journalists as human shields.
Where do you get off with the cheerleader and the prom queen comments?
I'm just saying, I'm not seeing any of their people who are on camera actually in anywhere near the actual reporting.
You can decide whether or not you want to be a comedy show or a political show, and the fact is Fox News.
Well, then they need to decide. Then they need to stop being so ridiculous because it's easy to ridicule them. Thanks for the call. Seriously, I'm not sure what he's arguing for. Is the whole point of what he was saying that? Let's go to John in Chicago. Hey, John.
Hey, Hal. What's going on?
It's a mistake for news organizations to send their actual reporters out to do the reporting. What you should do is, blackwater your actual reporting to somebody who doesn't know how to use the gear, can't operate a recording device, doesn't know which end of a camera faces the actual action, and then he can come back and draw on a napkin Stonehenge style what your reporter should be saying, because you spent too much getting that guy's teeth capped to let him be harmed in the field. That's what I'm gathering. And it's dumb to send real reporters into the field. That part he lost me on. Figure it out?
Hey, you know, it's amazing how people are so willing to defend power to lie and who are unwilling to actually do their job. When you think of the great journalists of the day, the name escapes me of the gentleman in World War II who actually lost his life reporting from the battlefield. But, you know, it's like those caliber of men you obviously don't find at Fox News who are actually willing to go out there, face the fire, and report from the front lines exactly what's going on.
Let's be really clear, ultimately, too. One of his big things was, you know, nobody knows the reporters at CNN, nobody's ever heard of these people because they're not as popular as Fox News. Okay, news is not a ratings game. News is a truth game. The situation is more popular than anybody on Fox News. That doesn't mean I have to take his political thought seriously or if he tells me something, I'm going to believe it. It's about credibility. And just because a group of people fervently believes the crap that comes out of Fox News doesn't make it so. And they have a cult of people that support anything that comes out of there, like the guy who just called, and they will never kind of back down from that because they'd have to look at their own worldview again. It's, you know, that part is amazing to me. It's all about ratings. O'Reilly makes that point all the time.
You know, it's funny. I think how what we're witnessing are the results of the dumbing down of America.
Well, you know, I would say that on one front, except for keep in mind that the ratings for Fox News, as big as they are indicative of a decent-sized group of people, you know, 3 to 5 million person swath, which is a huge group of people. However, in a 330 million person country, not gigantic. But in the news world, ratings are so, you know, shaved so fine, you know. The truth is, where are the real ratings? Dancing with the Stars, their American Idol. That's where you've got 40, 60, 80 million people watching. More people watch Cartoon Network than watch Fox. So but the difference is these people take it seriously, and they fight so hard, and they're trained to kind of be, you know, soldiers for this. This is the evangelical archetype that they build. They built the Fox structure on old tent revival structures. That's why Glenn Beck is acting like an old revivalist. That's because that's how you build, you know, a cult around yourself, and then you can say anything you want, and they have to defend it, because if any of it starts to fall, all of it starts to fall.
Yeah.
So,
hopefully this is one more brick that causes, well, the actual brick that causes the wall to tumble down.
You know, I think that's already happening. I mean, Glenn Beck's ratings have halved in the last year. He lost WOR in New York because of ratings, not because they censored him. You know, this breathless, you know, they're coming to get, they're trying to silence your voice. No, people are silencing your voice with their right wrist. Click. Thanks a lot for the call. I would like to take a personal moment, if we may. Actually, we're going to go to a break first. On line one is someone very, very special, and I will talk to them after we get back. I'm Hal Sparks. I'm filling in on the Stephanie Miller Show all this week. We've got all sorts of questions the phones are lighting up. Is Fox News entertainment or news? Is CNN sending their go-to people? We'll find out after this. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Hal Sparks. And for those of you watching on the Ustream, my mic is now positioned like Lemmy's. I'm going to do the entire show with the mic way up here so I can just talk straight into it like Lemmy does. If anybody's ever seen him sing, he looks like a chick being fed by its mother bird. That's what that mic is all about. Because when it sounds like you gargle clamshells when you're singing, you really, proper throat position is very important. In our great conversation about valid media organizations and the importance of them, on the line with us is Gregory Alexander, my producer from Chicago, WCPT Radio, Chicago's Progressive Talk, where you can find Stephanie Miller and Bill Press and all the other wonderful soldiers of truth that are out there. How are you, Greg?
Good morning, Hal. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
You're a long-time caller, first-time listener.
That's both things.
Yes, right.
How are you?
I'm spectacular, although I do have a little bit of Law & Order voice today.
It could be worse.
Yeah, as long as I talk loud, it's not really obvious.
You're always good at letting people speak their mind, but I have a gift for you.
Yes?
I'm going to give you a chance to hang up on me.
Oh,
at least you can hang up on someone.
You need me to practice the dump button because I let people go too long when they're talking in circles? But it's so much fun.
It is fun, but it's also kind of fun to hang up on people from time to time.
All right.
Because your views are crazy and absurd and out of touch and out of line and off the wall. And have you considered the repercussions of your opinions and your propaganda?
Whatever. I'm sorry, sir. Thanks for the call. We love Greg. I did it. I hung up on somebody who was rambling. That was baby steps, everybody. Baby steps. Let's go to Mark, who thinks that I guess CNN isn't sending their go-to people. Hey, Mark.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the state of our media en masse is very poor. We're not getting a lot of information.
Sure.
And I think that CNN had a go-to reporter named Michael Ware mm-hmm. in the Middle East.
Sure.
And he was very objective. He was, becoming more opinionated, and he was becoming more vocal that we shouldn't be there, and we were doing things we shouldn't be doing. And all of a sudden, he disappeared off the face of the earth. And, as I understand it, they said that he had post-traumatic stress. But I think he had a case of telling the truth, and that put an end to his career. And that's CNN. We can know that Fox, won a court case in Florida telling them they don't have to tell the truth.
Yeah, because they argued that they are an entertainment industry. That's how they got away with it when they're trying to take over stations in Canada and England.
They actually won a federal court case saying that they can mislead their viewers. And also, Glenn Beck was in Forbes magazine when he was quoted as saying, "I don't give a crap about the political process."
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, this is just a money-making machine. But yes, it's easy. Fox is easy to attack, but we have to look at CNN and NBC, MSNBC, because we're getting half truths.
I totally agree. That's why I started. That's why I started that conversation with. I feel it a bit odd defending CNN because I find their issue of false parody happening all the time, and what they view as parody. If they had somebody who came on and said, I would like to see Auschwitz bulldozed and a memorial park put there with some plaques saying what it was instead of ovens that are a horrible reminder, let's do something positive with the land. Instead of bringing on somebody who says, no, I think it's a better reminder to leave it exactly as it is, they would bring on somebody who doesn't believe the Holocaust ever happened. And that's not parody. That's two separate conversations going, in opposite directions, at best cross purposes. And that's oftentimes their version of parody. It's really kind of brutal, but then you have this moment of clarity from Nick Robertson where you could tell he's just had it. You could tell he's, and that's what happened, to Michael, is that these guys get out and arguably that's the reason you send people out into the field to see the real news, because then you get a real response from the reporter themselves instead of them just talking over news feed that looks like, it might as well be video game footage, which is how the Fox News reporters always look at everything. That's why they have no empathy for anybody killed or blown up or shot or burned alive or any of that stuff. They just kind of shrug and do whatever because they never see it. They never get anywhere near it. And when you have somebody like Nick Robertson, who's one of the field reporters for CNN, who's been very is very much on camera, is very much the go-to guy in that regard. It's you stand there and you watch a lot of that stuff, and then you come back and go, "Hey, Fox News just said you guys were used as a human shield." When he's like, "I had to wake up this morning and make the decision whether or not I might be killed if I go there." Libya just released four journalists who were abused during their capture. That thought goes through your head, even if you think, "Oh, I got to kind of sauce up my report because my uppers won't let it get through." You have to have those thoughts, and then you come home and come back to the base and Fox News, the guy who never left the compound, is breathlessly reporting with you over his shoulder that you guys were human shields.
Well, let's make the link, too, about the Attorney General going after WikiLeaks and Bradley Manning.
Right.
Bradley Manning was the only one that was actually fulfilling his obligation. He was telling the truth. It's against the law, the UCMJ, for a person in the military to take on an illegal order like torture or targeting innocent civilians, as you can see the report today. That's what Bradley Manning took that up the flagpole and took that to his higher officers, who absolutely did nothing. So he did what was the
right
tool of last resort. And now he's sitting in a jail cell, in isolation 24 hours.
Keep in
a
mind,
day.
Though, I totally agree about the importance of leaks and them, the whistleblowers being protected to some degree. But if you're in the military and you leak classified information, especially when you're gathering it over a series of time, you're going to go to jail for that, and you're not going to be treated well. I don't care who you are. And the idea, he's not going to get a hero's welcome or any kind of support in that. And part of what they're doing is a message to everybody else to keep them from releasing it, information. You're just never going to get away with that behavior, no matter how valuable it is to anybody. So like I said, I'm not disagreeing with you about the value of what he was doing. I just think there's a little bit of disconnect. Like that he shouldn't be in jail at all, you know, according to military code either. And it's just not going to happen.
Well, you know, that concerns me. The place where I get hard news, real news,
right,
is the internet. And, mm-hmm, you know, when we're talking about looking to shut down access to the internet or access to,
absolutely,
information in that way.
Al Franken's been, we got 30 seconds before I got to go to a break, but Al Franken's been pushing, you know, the protection of net neutrality. And one of his big things is that, you know, they're trying to kill Netflix, all the big, broadband companies. This is how he's trying to get people interested, because they just don't seem to notice. They're going to get censored. We'll be back. It's Hal Sparks. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
By the rules of the day. Is your mind an open page? Oh, will it always be the same? Is it choice?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. We still have a bunch of your calls on the line about Fox News and the fact that Fox News said that CNN and the other news organizations were allowing their reporters to be kept as human shields, and or used as human shields by Gaddafi, and that I guess Fox sidestepped that by sending someone unqualified to operate equipment on the same trip with the other reporters. I don't know what to report back. Are they just, do they buy footage and then just talk over it? Is that how they do the news at Fox at this point? I mean, we know that, you know, they're big fans of James O'Keefe, and he loves, you know, editing stuff out of context. While, P.S., if you saw the report on Ross Story and several other sites, not allowing his speeches to be taped. Yeah. Got a distrust in people playing you unedited? Is that the problem? You want to be able to release edited pieces of what you're saying because you need to manipulate your own message to make it palatable to the American people? By the way, bottom half of this hour, Charlie Pierce will be joining us, author of Idiot America. Good times. Charlie will be with us as he's a Tuesday regular on the Stephanie Miller Show. Let's go to Andrea in Miami, Florida. Hey, Andrea.
Hi, good morning, Hal. How are
morning.
You?
Morning. I'm good. I've got, well, like I said, I've got Law and Order voice, but other than that, I'm fine. These are your stories.
You're doing a great job filling in on Hump Week with Hal.
Yeah, Hump Week. Yes, that's what we call it. We're almost, I guess, at the equinox. So, yeah,
we're close. Not quite at Hump Day yet, but.
Well, that's what the equinox is. It's a sort of hump between two, you know, two seasons. Okay, whatever. Anyway, go ahead.
No problem. I wanted to chime in on kind of, it's kind of a crazy assessment that he's making by saying that some of the reporters from the other news networks, he wouldn't recognize who they are, when we've all seen footage of Anderson Cooper in, you know, with the Haiti,
yeah,
you know, earthquake, you know, and recently in, when he was, you know, hit in the head in Egypt, or Ann Curry on Twitter is talking about how she is worried for her crew and nuclear, you know. You know,
oh, well, I mean,
her,
not even
know,
mentioning Laura Logan, who is amazing.
Exactly.
Talk about, you know, a speaking truth to power kind of, I mean, she's.
Yeah, and I mean, unless you're living under a rock, there's no way you haven't recognized these people. So for him to make that assessment and say, yeah, you wouldn't recognize who they are, so they're not sending their important people, is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, clearly. But the thing is, they view anybody who works at any other news organization as unimportant, because they're literally drinking the wine that pours from this fountain that is Fox News, regardless of the content. They just don't, I mean, it's Kool-Aid over there. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. So thanks a ton, Andrea. And by the way, what station do you listen on in Miami? Are you a podcast subscriber? Do you know?
Actually, actually, we used to have 610, which used to carry Progressive Radio and, you know, Air America, that kind of stuff. Mm. That's been since shut down.
So funny that.
Anybody down here in Florida, yeah, we have a crazy, Republican stronghold here in Florida, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And let me not even get started on our wonderful governor. But,
oh, man.
So basically, if you want to find some solid news, you have to go to the internet. You have to listen to online or
right.
great apps like the iHeartRadio iPhone app is a great resource at work. You know,
that's true. Or the House Parks iPhone app, which is also a fantastic resource for watching the Ustream and joining in the chat there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But,
absolutely.
Thanks, Andrea. And I will say, ChicagosProgressiveTalk.com, which is where my Saturday show is, has mm-hmm. A lot of these shows streaming, too, if you can't find them on what the local station used to be there. So, anyways, thanks very much for calling.
No problem. Keep up the great work.
I will. Cheers. Thank you. Let's go to Tom in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Al.
Hiya.
Hiya. Hey, you come a long way from talk soup and being a bottom.
I for the record, anybody listening, Michael was versatile. So don't even front.
Hey, I'm just saying. Props to you, man. Kudos.
Thank you.
a couple things about this. First off, how did Gaddafi and Fox News know that it was the British that were going to attack? That was the point that was brought up on Huffington Post when I read that this morning. And mm-hmm. I found it very interesting. So here they are saying, oh, they're using human shields. Wait a minute. How did Fox News get this information? Well, of course, because they make it up as they go along. But
right.
going back to the caller you had to deal with earlier.
Right.
He admitted to you
yeah.
that he didn't hear it. And this is the problem that we have
right.
with Fox News, is that they're cadre of zombies who, whenever Fox News says, oh, we're being attacked, boom, they're on it. They're on the web pages, they're on the bulletin boards, and then they call in the talk shows and say, oh, there's an attack on Fox News, when they don't even have all of the information, of course, in front of them. They just know that Fox is being attacked, so we must defend our master. And so when someone said earlier that they were hoping that this is a brick that begins to fall, unfortunately, maybe because I'm just a natural pessimist,
right.
I don't see it happening because of this whole zombie parade that not just woefully but willfully is ignorant and mm-hmm. stands up for this parade of misinformation because of the fact that whole daddy syndrome that Brandi Rhodes likes to talk about.
Right.
Which, speaking of, there would be an interesting foursome. I'd like to see you, Howard, Randy, and Steph. So
that's
now,
yeah. I bet you would. And secondly, it does. I agree that there's an element of daddy syndrome there, but I also think there's more of a televangelist evangelical concept that they really run there. And like
really
I said,
is.
Yeah, I mean, they if you listen to, you know, I think it's was it Charles Coughlin, the old radio preacher who used to, in the 20s or whatever, who's known mm-hmm. for, you know, these end of the world diatribes about, you know, the fall of America and basically that's what Glenn Beck parrots his show from, is the concept, and it works like a charm. I mean, it's, let's be honest, you know, Sherlock Holmes became Quincy. Quincy became CSI Miami. There's not a lot new in
I'd like to actually start a pool on the day that Glenn Beck snaps on the air. I think that would be like awesomeness.
It's interesting. I'm curious, and thanks for the call. I'm curious to see. I don't think his snap will be on the air. I think his snap will be off air, because on air is where he's happy and feels secure because he thinks he's got a message. It's when he either leaves Fox and moves to an internet channel and has to face the fact that, you know, he's on parity with Oberman and Al Gore, you know, and has to face the fact that he's unwanted by this, you know, this group that he used to think was his, you know, his rabid listening base. It's going to be fascinating. No doubt about that whatsoever. Are we, let's see, we got about a minute before we can take a break. Let's go to slight change in conversation. Jeff in Austin, Texas. Hey, Jeff.
What a typical
liberal to be more concerned with what Fox News is doing right now than the fact that Barack Obama and this so-called UN-led coalition has launched 150 cruise missiles into what liberals would call a sovereign nation, attacking somebody who is unprovoked, has not done anything to the United States. It's just pure hypocrisy
right.
for you to be deflecting toward Fox News right now.
Well, first of all, we dealt with this whole conversation.
What happened to the No Blood for Oil group? That's what I want to know.
Well, I think there's a huge difference between boots on the ground for oil in a country that didn't attack us and protecting
a
democratic uprising.
It's okay, but if you put people in harm's way, then it's wrong. Where's Code Pink on this? Where's anybody on the left who's going to say that it's wrong to kill people in a sovereign nation?
Well, first of all, Dennis Kucinich made that very case himself. Meanwhile, Carl Levin, who also I think is a stalwart Democrat, differs with him. Yeah. There's actually variety
on Fox
of opinion.
News, buddy. Focus on Fox News. That's where it needs to be right now.
Okay, secondly, were you listening yesterday?
What a joke.
What a joke. Obviously, reading from a piece of paper. This is the, why aren't they up in arms? Because they picked on Bush. Because Iraq and Libya are the same circumstance. Because, you know, Bush went into Iraq with a total coalition and UN resolution for everybody. And the French fired first and we're going to hand off. No, wait. That's totally different. It's 180 degrees away from the way the president handled it. Right now, the clamor on the right is that that Obama didn't go in fast enough because they can't make the case that they didn't want to go in because this is one of their favorite things to do is bomb countries like this, especially Libya. I mean, this is Reagan called Gaddafi a mad dog, the mad dog of the Middle East. It's amazing to me that if we start a conversation about the quality of content of Fox News, the deflection that comes, you're not even allowed to talk about it. You can't chip away at that because you should be talking about something else. You can't talk about what it's not right. You can't discuss how Fox News is a propaganda machine. That's just not fair because, the truth is, I don't know. Okay. And I think probably Don feels the same way. Hi, Don.
Good morning. I'd like to say that Fox News is definitely a propaganda machine for conservative values, just as MSNBC and your show are propaganda for liberal progressive means. I mean, if you're stupid.
Well, if you think MSNBC, their slogan is lean forward. They are outwardly and openly progressive, whereas Fox touts themselves as quote unquote fair and balanced. They do not cop to being a propaganda arm of the conservative meme. As a matter of fact, they fight that whenever it's brought up. I don't pretend to not be a progressive. This is progressive talk radio. We even say that in the liners.
Right.
Right. Propaganda is when you're pretending that your message is something other than it is.
Well, I mean, you definitely do not report the news accurately because not everything that's conservative is nasty or wrong, and not.
I didn't say everything that's conservative is nasty or wrong. Arguably, I'd say that a lot of conservative principles are completely abandoned by everyone who views themselves as a conservative these days. I think Ronald Reagan would be driven out of the conservative movement right now.
How the same with liberalism too. I mean, you can't go.
Really?
You can't go with basically everything liberal because even liberals want speed limits. They want laws. They want. I mean, there's laws even to
what?
Progressives. So I mean,
what are you talking about?
You can't have how. You can't have like let's just say legalizing marijuana, for instance, which is a progressive thing.
Sure.
To legalize marijuana, but you don't want to legalize crack cocaine. Which
right.
Of course. It's
because they're exactly the same drug with the exact same ramifications, and that all the reports done on crack cocaine versus marijuana states that marijuana shouldn't be a Class A drug.
From your perspective.
No, from science's world, perspective.
Out here in the real world?
Yes.
When you go
in the real world, pot is the same as crack?
No. The ideology to accept drug use is all the way down the line to heroin use and somebody.
Oh, I see. So anybody who starts in on any drug is on a bullet train to heroin town. Is that what you're saying? And therefore, progressives are propagandizing. I'm not.
I'm just saying that progressives have limits. So you are conservative.
Of course, we have limits.
Things.
Who's saying we don't have limits?
So you are conservative in some things. You're conservative when it comes to marijuana use, that you shouldn't also legalize.
Well, I don't. I think you're making I think that's a false parody.
I think false parodies about Fox. I'm now recording Glenn Beck because you guys have run him down all the time. I record Glenn Beck. I watch him when I can, and I say, you know, this guy's pretty whack. But most people don't understand where his ideology comes from. If you study, and that's what most people don't do, his mentality and his ideology comes from Mormon theology. Not necessarily an American Chinese.
No, it isn't. Glenn Beck went religion shopping because his wife insisted if they were going to have kids, they have to have a religion to bring them up in. And they literally went church to church, and a friend of his went, why don't you become a Mormon? And he went, okay. Yeah. And I don't think Glenn Beck is indicative of Mormonism in this country or the Mormon people in general.
Mormons have a year's worth or more of food in their basements and stuff waiting for this Armageddon thing to happen, which Glenn basically sells every day. Every day you listen to Glenn.
Well, yeah, but he's not just appealing to Mormons.
I'm just saying that this is
where your conversation went. You went from, I am the same as Fox News because I openly say I'm progressive and they call themselves fair and balanced and don't say they're openly conservative, and that I have limitations on my thought because I don't believe that crack should be legal if I think pot should be legalized. And then from that, Glenn Beck is a Mormon evangelical leader and with 100 days of food in his basement. I think they've collapsed in on themselves. We have to take a break. That was just, I had to keep that guy on because that's amazing. Those thoughts bounce around in the same skull at the same time. No wonder the Republicans don't have a presidential candidate they can run. It's like a pinwheel in there with, you know, Walmart, Jesus, Mormon, hate, Muslim, yikes. And it just they just spin it, and whatever it lands on, that's what they start talking about. I'll be back. It's Hal Sparks. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. This is 01. My band, we played last night at the Whiskey here in Los Angeles, and we will be at the at Club Kokomo in San Francisco, April 22nd. Very exciting. With Jet Boy, actually, for those of you back in the wonderful 80s that I obviously love so much if you watch any VH1. Okay, so I feel the need to recap. First of all, there's a great chat going on at halsparks.com/Ustream, and of course you can use the Hal Sparks iPhone app and watch the show there and join in the chat there if you're mobile and you're out and about and you feel like you're going to miss it. And before I get on to some of our callers, and then we've got Charlie Pierce after this break, I feel the need to recap. So, Fox says that CNN and the other reporters were used as human shields by Gaddafi and allowed themselves to be, insinuating that they were kind of complicit in this. Nick Robertson comes out and goes, okay, this is crap, and it's really annoying because the one guy they sent was not a reporter, didn't even know how to operate his recording gear, literally could have just been a local they gave $10 to get on the bus to, and the Fox reporter didn't even leave the compound and puts these reports out to his handlers that he probably gets copy from. That's my own editorial ad from his from Roger Ailes directly. And so Nick Robertson says this. He goes, "Look, I've had enough. This is crap. These guys don't even go out and report, and they're calling me a stooge for the Gaddafi regime." And then the callers that come in say, where's Code Pink in attacking Barack Obama because enforcing a UN no-fly zone with no boots on the ground is exactly the same as extrajudicially entering Iraq using 9/11 as a reasoning, and that because liberals believe that pot should be legal but crack shouldn't, that somehow we are hypocritical, and that Mormons live with 100 days worth of food in their basement because they believe in Armageddon, and Glenn Beck is not speaking for the conservative movement. He's just a lost. I'm confused. It's tough. We only have a minute left, and we have to take a break, and then we're coming in with Charlie Pierce. Let me get one call real quick. Bob in Akron, Ohio. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hal. How you doing?
I'm confused. We got 1 minute. Fire away.
You've certainly hit the mother load today.
I know.
I don't know. But the whole reason for Fox News' existence is for these people with their certain worldview, which is you and everyone else in the media are lying. Fox is telling them the truth.
Right.
And these are the people that are likely to be outraged by Walter Cronkite telling us we couldn't win in Vietnam, which was a huge, you know, a war that we were told huge lies about.
Right.
That Nixon and Oliver North got a raw deal.
Yeah, Reagan and Oliver North. Yes,
exactly. Right.
Right.
And you know,
yeah. I mean, this is, by the way, and I agree. We're up against the break, and it's an excellent point. This is the same group of people. This is the moral majority from the 80s, kids. I'm Hal Sparks. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. When we get back, Charlie Pierce. Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Hal Sparks, broadcasting to you live from the studios here at KTLK in lovely, not quite downtown Burbank. And we're going to take a slight break, and this is, I'll leave this up to Charlie, actually, away from the direct conversation about Fox as a quote-unquote news source, and bring him on. Hi, Charlie Pierce.
Hey, Hal Sparks, how you doing? Are you alone in the studio?
Huh? I am.
The whole crew is on vacation?
Everybody. It's just me and Tony here, and all Tony does is make faces and pick music. So I'm really, this is, you know, luckily I don't have mooks, but I do have jelly-headed Foxites calling in who are just as funny as some of the voices that Jim Ward makes.
Are you encouraging this behavior?
I guess I am, because they're coming out of the woodwork. I literally.
What did you say? I was on an airplane all morning, so I don't know what's going on.
Oh, well, essentially, Nick Robertson went off on CNN.
Oh, is this the story about the guy who won't leave the hotel?
Yes.
I heard about this last night.
Exactly. And so the Fox defenders have come out and said that CNN doesn't really send real reporters in the field, because I don't know who Nick Robertson is, because I only watch Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly, which makes total sense, and that they're just jealous because Fox has better ratings, as if ratings are an indication of truth, because if that were the case, then why don't they just vote for whoever Snooki tells them to vote for? But that's another thing. Fiction always beats the news, and that's what Fox is in the business of. Fox is a fictional organization, but go ahead.
Well, my understanding is that Nick Robertson really called this guy out.
Oh yeah, he literally said it's stupid.
This is reporter on reporter crime. I love it.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see them hit back. But I mean, when Fox comes out and literally says that these guys are allowing themselves willfully, I guess, to be used as human shields for the Gaddafi regime, and that they're too stupid to know that that's what's going on. This is just propaganda. Instead of going, no, you kind of want a real reporter who actually has a brain in their head to go out into the field and take a real solid look at what's going on as best you can, even as limited as that often is. But again, the Fox News guy stays back eating Danishes at the, you know, in the compound, completely safe, and just reports basically whatever he's told to report over basically video game footage that they compile or grab from someplace else. And God knows where, because the guy they sent doesn't know how to operate his camera.
Well, I suspect we're going to be seeing some of the Fox video on Libya showing up as representing events in Madison, Wisconsin, sooner or later.
Oh.
I mean, I don't think there's any question about that.
No.
It's just all stock footage. I mean.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. They're cutting and pasting the entire world together. They're going to probably show footage of, of the Libyan, Libyan airstrikes, and it's going to be union fights in Florida. What? Why are there palm trees and black people all of a sudden yelling at each other in Libya?
This may well be an. I've been waiting for this moment for ever since Katrina. This may be the moment to get Shep Smith to go berserk on the air.
He's been on the cusp so many times, and they don't want to kick him to the curb because he probably knows where some of the figurative bodies are buried. You know what I mean? They don't want a book from Shep Smith.
Plus, they need him there the way college basketball teams need the one guy on the bench with the 3.8 grade average.
Right, exactly.
And they need the one guy to point to. You see, we're not a real news operation. Look, we've got Shep Smith over there.
He yelled
forget
about
the fact he's tied, forget the fact he's rolling his desk chair across the room and going for an axe.
Right. So, why were you traveling, Charlie Pierce?
I'm doing a little actual journalism down in Florida for the next
what?
Day or so. Yeah, I'm going to go talk. A guy named Samuel Ting, who works at MIT, who's got an experiment to study dark matter in the universe going up on the next to last space shuttle. So I will be at the Kennedy Space Center.
That's awesome.
This afternoon. Yeah,
which is
cool.
Totally
one of the great things about my job.
Yeah, I guess so, man. And can you say who you're writing that for? Or is it just for CharlieAPierce.com?
No. It's for the Boston Globe magazine. It's for
nice.
The day job.
That's awesome. Many people know out there, and I'm sure I'm not surprising anyone, I am a huge fan of black silicone. And a discovery that was made accidentally about now 3 years ago and will change nearly every electronic that we have. And I've been kind of following this, like, when's the company that makes black silicone going to go public? Because
I was going to say, are you studying it or have you invested yet, silly?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm waiting for somebody because it was like this program. It was a an MIT program that started it. So
we tend to look, those of us in Boston tend to look across the river at MIT for a couple of days and go,
what is going
on? Really going on over there?
Seriously. Like, you expect to see grays walking in and out of a special door that's cut for them, so this is, I have to ask you about Libya because I appreciate your voice and I appreciate what you have to say. And if anybody hasn't read Idiot in America, you should. It is officially a national bestseller. And in this nation, I think that should clarify. Because
that's exactly right. This, and even in the Madison, Wisconsin with palm trees.
It's this actual country, yes. I'm sure it's a national bestseller in other nations that might be smaller even even bigger. I don't know. But it's definitely this one when we say national.
Yeah, if you're a Liechtensteinian author, you really don't have to do much,
That's the spirit.
A national bestseller.
Right.
All your cousins buy it.
Right. I sold a copy in New York and a copy in San Francisco. I covered the span of the country. End of conversation. The back and forth in all this, Dennis Kucinich coming out yesterday wondering aloud if this is an impeachable offense.
It's hard to argue that it's not blatantly unconstitutional. But
well,
then again,
I think,
so has every war since World War II been.
Right. If you're going to say that, then you say every single war since World War II has been unconstitutional.
Really, every use of American troops when you come right down to it, except for hurricane relief.
Right. Or even Grenada. This one in particular. 110 Tomahawk missiles fired, surprisingly enough, by the quote-unquote coalition, because the initial news reports made it sound like we'd fired all 110 of them, which is not the case.
Yeah, but we made all 110 of them,
yes.
I believe.
Yes, I think you might be onto something, my friend.
The one thing that I... That,
we'll
that
make
I'm
them, you guys up. Fire them. Sounds like a business plan to me.
Taking it, and one thing I am going to say right now is that I don't ever want to hear any of the Washington schmo ever talk about the deficit again.
Exactly.
We're firing 52 Head Start programs into the desert an hour right now.
Yeah. I
don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about that again.
Right.
Because, I get the feeling that there's, like, they have their own money. There's, like, army money. It's all camo. It's not green. It's camo.
Totally.
That's what they spend.
Well.
Yeah.
First of all, it's not camo. It's jet black, and you can't see it even with radar. You know,
black silicone.
Yeah, it's made of black silicone. It's literally printed, and you can tell how much somebody has by their retinal scan.
I just got aggravated about this last night because I was talking to a friend of mine who works for Head Start in Boston.
Yeah,
and he's terrified.
Yeah,
he's 6 weeks away from being unemployed.
Right, and
when we want to blow some stuff up in the desert, we've got all the money we need.
Always. Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, the winding down of Iraq and Afghanistan alone would make the argument against all these social programs being eliminated moot, which, by the way, is beginning to be my main reasoning for why I think conservatives want us at war all the time. Is they have an excuse. We can't. We're broke. Well, why are we broke? Because we're blowing up bombs. We're blowing up an $80,000 building with a $500,000 bomb with nobody in it. You know, or at worst, with civilians in it if we're not careful. And that's the sad truth and the intentional part of a lot of these things.
I think the Starve the Beast philosophy, which goes back to the Reagan campaign in 79, certainly is about tax cuts and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And forcing the issue to eliminate programs you don't like because, quote unquote, we don't have the money for them.
Right.
Oh, my God. I mean, what do these things cost? $500,000 a piece?
Right. Yeah. And you could literally just go the president called, fire six fewer missiles. We would like to fund homeless shelters the entire country across.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's not blow up that building today.
Right. Especially since, because we have all this other spy satellite stuff, this is really for show in some ways. It's interesting to me, too. And this is, we've only got a couple minutes left with you. I know you're in heavy demand. There's a big, you know, legally we can't target the leader of another country for extrajudicial assassination. Individuals, that's one thing, but individuals who actually run a country, we're very tepid about that. So no one in the military is going to say we're trying to blow up Gaddafi. What we're trying to, you know, everybody's going, well, we just want him to be removed from office. We just want to degrade his defenses enough where he has no other choice. It's like I didn't shoot him. I just snuck up behind him in a parking lot, put a pillowcase over his head, and bound his hands and feet. Somebody else shot him. I just wasn't there.
We're not gonna kill him. We're just gonna blow up every building he's likely to be in.
Exactly.
And if we happen to hit the right one, hey, you know.
And it's funny, yeah. And in the middle of this, kill a lot of guys who are soldiers who are. I mean, a lot of Gaddafi supporters, quote unquote, are actually just, you know, mercenaries hired by him now at this point, because like a lot of these Middle Eastern countries currently, a lot of the soldiers are dropping their weapons. They're going, I'm just not going to shoot into a crowd of people. There's plenty of them that will, but there's a lot of them that won't, and so these guys are now hiring guys, Blackwater style, who don't care who they shoot as long as the check clears.
Right.
And we're still calling them loyalists. That drives me nuts. Both New York Times and CNN keep using the word loyalists or forces loyal to the regime. Like, they're not loyal. That part drives me crazy. I don't know how we even deal with it.
I remember back in the day when the parliament tried to coup and Yeltsin was outside with the tank.
Right.
And they were blowing the crap out of the parliament building. And CNN kept calling the guys in the building the hardliners. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, who's got the tank?
Right.
The rest of these guys are half drunk under their desks.
Right. Yeah.
The guy outside with the tank is the hardliner.
Well, yeah, exactly. Hardliner is a bad descriptive word for somebody who's trying to make a phone call on a line that's been cut. So, Charlie Pierce, everybody needs to check out charliepierce.com. Yes.
It's .net, actually.
Is it? I beg your pardon.
I'm a .net, not a .com.
That's true. You're charlespierce.com.
.net.
I'm just saying it comes up as .com. You own that as well. I don't know if you know it.
Really?
It might be a redirect.
You know the reason why there was no charlespierce.com originally.
Why?
Is that Charles Pierce, spelling same name, was one of the most prominent female impersonators of all time.
And you were ashamed to be associated with him? Why, sir?
I'm not, but he had the web. He owned the domain.
Oh, well, he doesn't anymore, because when you type in charlespierce.net or .com, you get both you. So,
that's tremendous.
I think that's a kudo, a big loss for the cross-dressing singers of the world, but a big win for Charlie Pierce. Right. Idiot America, How Stupidity Became a Virtue in the Land of the Free. Great book. And good luck not falling into the black hole that they just discovered near enough to suck up our sun.
Okay.
And an early happy 2012 to you.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
I'll give you your best of the Mayans. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thanks, Charlie Pierce. Yay. Genius. Good guy. We will be back right after this. It's House Marks. I'm filling in on the Stephanie Miller Show. We will get to your calls right after this break. 1-800-STEPH-12.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller Show, where you can still rock in America. I'm Hal Sparks, in for Steph and the Mooks while they're on vacation, and I wish them a wonderful, relaxed time, and I thank Steph for going out of town so that major world events can happen. It's amazing. I fear for the day that she, if she ever stops doing radio, Armageddon will come, because literally every day the whole world will flip-flop 180 degrees. From its current standing, it's pretty amazing. Let's go to your calls. 1-800-STEPH-12 is our number. Let's go to Ike in Charleston, North Carolina. Hi,
you know,
Ike.
The other Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, she's got NC in here instead of SC, but I apologize. Charleston, South Carolina. Well done, lad.
And but you know, I got a sneaking suspicion, Stephanie. I think Randy probably hid the keys to the cuffs. That's why Stephanie isn't on the air.
Uh-oh.
But, listen. Work with me here. You know, I got to say something. It's a bit of a confessional. You know, I've been a painter for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And back in the day, they used to put lead in the paint.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it, but I've got to apologize to all these Fox News defenders out there, these nimrods. Listen, I'm sorry I put the lead paint in your house, but for God's sake, you don't have to sit in front of the TV sucking on the chips watching that garbage, all right?
Right. It does seem like there's some sort of long-term physical brain damage that is conducive to that kind of behavior. Now, they've done actual reports on the conservative brain, and they've said that there's a lot of consistency in it. And, of course, there are certain nutrient deficiencies that are that occur in the South more prevalently than the rest of the country, that if a baby doesn't get it, they're a little slower on the uptake later on. I escaped just in time and had parents who were curious enough to eat other foods than just the Cheeto-ready meals that were prepared for us. I hear you. And by the way, shame on you for the lead. I'm just saying. You didn't know. But.
Yeah, I had to get that off my chest. But on the flip side of everything, to be honest with you, you know, look, the Republicarchs and the plutocracy that runs that party and that makes up Fox News, Mr. Murdoch, who got his butt kicked out of Australia because they didn't want anything to do with it, you know, between that and the Republican Brotherhood that they're running here, these people have sooner or later got to wake up to the point that a working person that votes for a Republican is like a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders. And until you get that through your head, you're never going to get out of this mess.
Well said, my brother. Thanks, Ike. You know, there is there's such a bifrenia in the Republican Party, even in Fox News viewers and that crowd, about Libya right now, because the ironic part is that they're calling them, their main gist seems to be, when I can make any sense of it, that why aren't people mad at Bush the way they were mad at Obama? Why isn't everything the same to everybody? I don't understand the content of what's going on. And then the ironic part is, if you ask them whether they're for it, they kind of are. You know, that's the thing. They don't want to agree with Barack Obama and his decisions in any circumstance, and they're so confused by that that I think it sends their brain scattering like you've turned on the lights in their head and the cockroaches are running. It's you know, I'm sorry to use such a, you know, a drastic analogy. I don't, you know, Hal Sparks says Fox viewers' skulls are filled with rats and cockroaches. Actually, I'll stand by that. I think that's reasonable. Let's go to Andy in Boston. Hey, Andy.
Hi, how you doing, Sparky?
Don't call me Sparky. That's my dad's nickname. Watch it now.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say, you know, you're always defending Bush. I mean, I remember back.
You mean Obama?
When, we were trying to get the public option. I mean, yep. You were sitting there saying what a great thing he's doing, but he never tried for the public option. I mean, this guy. I mean, you got
to. I have made this case till I'm blue in the face with every Wednesday during this whole procession.
All right,
the fact,
you know,
was, the president does not. Hold on. Let's start with one issue first. If you're going to bring that up, we got to address it. You can't just, you know, wag that about and then run to the next issue. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to accuse me of something, then you have to allow me to respond, correct?
All right.
Thank you. Okay. The votes were not there for the public option. Were not there. Doesn't matter if you fought for it or not. There were members of his own party, specifically the corporate Dems, that already said, they're going to torpedo it if it comes up. End of conversation going to happen. And at the point of the votes that they needed to actually make anything happen at that point, it was going to kill it all. And
right.
You have
no,
to ask
your... He never tried for it.
Yes, he did. He went
did
to them and asked, there is no other try. There is no other try. If those guys aren't going to vote for it, period, no questions asked. If you can't strong-arm them into doing it, if they're getting more money from the insurance companies than they're getting from you... or any help they think they're going to get from you or from their constituency, they're going to leave you high and dry. If they think it's more expedient to scuttle this thing than to be a part of it, you're just stuck, and you have a choice to make. And you ask me if you're willing to make that choice. Do you scuttle the whole bill, including the protections for, you know, children being able to stay on, filling the Medicare donut hole, allowing, you know, people with pre-existing conditions to maintain their coverage or get coverage? Do you scuttle all that because you would rather fight for a public option you know
yes,
you
I
won't
would.
Get?
Well, I would have tried. I mean, you
what does that mean, though?
Support.
What do you mean you would have tried?
If you had more support and you had Democrats standing up and saying what the public option was, what Obama's bill, look, they're still fighting over it.
I know.
They're still crying over it. And you know,
that's what I mean.
Really
that's
that
because
great.
They have.
I'm from Massachusetts. I
okay.
Mean, we have
the question is, the question I put to you, and I really do mean this. I honestly don't want to fight with you. I just really want to make this case. Andy, if you're presented in a situation where you know if you put this bill up for a vote with a public option, it's not going through. But if you take that out, you get these other elements. Do you scuttle the bill to make the point? Do you?
All right. Well,
do
you?
Andy, do you? If you're president, do you?
I would have. I'm sorry.
You would have scuttled the bill.
I would have just got rid of it, and then.
And that's why we did not have.
Talked about what.
That's why we did not have a bill that this drastically changed.
They're going to try to get rid of it.
We got to wrap. We're up against the break. That's the point I'm making. Hal Sparks.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Hal Sparks, filling in for Steph and the Mooks while they are away on vacation, and I hope, by golly, that they are actually vacationing, because they need it, and they work very hard. And I have to say, I will attest to the fact, and Tony and I are dragging ourselves in here, because we actually have a life at night. We don't normally have these hours. Not really. And so, you know, I had a show last night with the band. Yesterday, I had meetings all afternoon. I did the show yesterday morning. I still am trying to crowbar my normal schedule into the fact where I have to get up at 4 a.m. to come in and do the show. So if I lose my cool or start to drift, please forgive me. It is a bit hard. At one point, I was like, I must be tired. This guy's argument makes no sense to me. And then I realized no, I'm awake. This is real. That guy really believes what he's thinking. Like, this is, yeah. So, let's go to, I mean, there's so many different conversations to be had here, and we're a bit splintered in the thing, but we'll try this. Hi, Mary in Long Island.
Hi, Hal. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Hi, Mary.
You know what happens? These people create their own reality. Remember back in the early days of the Bush administration, that wonderful interview with Ron Suskind? He was interviewing a Bush official. I read this secondhand, but it was printed in Vanity Fair, read it in the Times,
right,
where he said to him, look, you're a journalist. You know, he's trying to ask him real questions, right? He said, you're a journalist. You're in the reality-based community. Here, we create our own reality.
Right.
That you've got to just keep that focus like a laser beam. They do it all the time.
Yeah, well, that's their methodology. They literally
own reality. Yeah, but people buy into it. Unfortunately, if you remember when Barack Obama first took office, I think they were getting, you know, in a huddle trying to figure out, what do we do? There's a black man in the White House. Mm-hmm. Do we, you know, and I think they decided, I don't know, rightly so, to go with the racism aspect because they knew their people. And I hate to say this, people get offended when I say it,
right,
but it's true. I mean, I hate to say it, even if it's 10 to 20% of the population, it's thinly veiled, but they hate the fact that there's a black man in the White House,
right,
and they will do anything to bring
well,
him down.
What do you
down.
Think that whole, do you recognize America? Do you recognize
please.
What this country has turned into?
Yes.
Do you, can you,
yes.
can you imagine it. A black guy on a piece of currency? Look what is happening. Like, this is the subtext of what Glenn Beck is saying.
I know. And he is so perfect. I mean, it's so ironic, that perfect family. Everybody loves Michelle.
I know.
She's gorgeous. She's smart. How could he be any better? He is the American
Again,
dream. He is
totally.
Martin Luther King's embodiment of
right.
America.
Right. Well, that's the thing. When you're a black man in America, you have to be an A student, head of the Harvard Law
exactly.
Review, perfectly
right.
married with two beautiful children. If you're
and
white, you could be a C student
that.
From Crawford.
Good, and I know, and they love him. In fact, they're so offended. God forbid you even mention racism or classism. Warren Buffett even said, we are in a class warfare, right? My class is winning.
Right.
I mean, Warren Buffett said that. You know, we know what's going on here.
Yep.
It's the same old Republican Party. I mean, greed makes you stupid, and white supremacy makes you insane.
Well,
and I tell you, that's not my original statement. It's somebody that I'm quoting who I won't mention on air.
No, I understand, Mary. I appreciate it. And thank you for the call. It's interesting to me that I've made the case that I think in a lot of, you know, with a lot of the Republicans, they can't even do selfish right. Like, I would almost appreciate if they believed their Ayn Randian principles, because they would just quit government and go out and invent things. You know, they would try to be the reared metals of the world. The ironic part is, if you've read Atlas Shrugged or you're geared up to watch the wonderful movie they put together, which is basically makes the case for high-speed rail, which is hilarious considering how they feel about it, that basically the main character in Atlas Shrugged argues that mid-level politicians who are always trying to shut down railways are the problem, not the solution. I can't imagine what the viewing parties for that thing are going to be like. Let's see. Dennis in Spartanburg thinks I'm always just hating on Fox. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Hey,
it's just one of me. You can, yeah.
Okay. I'm just glad America's finally waking up to how you guys on the left, way you do things. Anything that is a threat to you, you paint them as racist, crazy, stupid.
Well, I think racists are a threat.
Okay, well, no one, I mean, who's a racist that, that has any power?
A racist that has any power?
Yeah, I mean, you got to have power. I mean, what I'm trying to say is, Glenn Beck, Fox News, Sarah Palin, Michelle
sure.
Bachman. You got. I'm on Facebook every night. You guys paint them as racist, stupid, crazy.
I would go more with bigoted than strictly racist, because I would also include gender discrimination and sexual orientation discrimination as part of their meme, not just color, although I do think that freaks them out. I think the immigration laws in Arizona point to that. I think their attitude towards Muslims points to that. I think the Steve Kings, the Michelle Bachmans of the world, viewing anyone who is Muslim as a radical and a danger to the country, instead of understanding that there are extremes in all these environments, and just dealing with that as a reality and then leaving the innocents alone. I think they like to bulk people together, and that, especially when it's based on their color, is the definition of racism.
Well, I mean, there's no really other extremes causing problems in America right now the way the Muslims are.
Really?
Or the Muslim extremists.
Really? So
yeah.
How many,
yeah.
Okay, compared to any Muslim acts of terrorism, how many actual, and by the way, these are just, these are not actually, these actually haven't happened. They were stopped. How many domestic acts of terrorism have there been? By white people who, in many cases, are viewers of Glenn Beck, including the shooter in Pittsburgh who called the cops to his house because he thought Obama was going to take his guns away and just called the cops so he could shoot them.
Did he do it in the name of Glenn Beck? I haven't heard him say in the name of Glenn Beck. I've heard many Muslim extremists go in before they shoot people and say, Allah Akbar, God is great.
Sure.
And start shooting
people. And so, and when we say, God bless America or God bless our troops when they go into, a war theater of any sort in another country and shoot soldiers, is that different somehow?
We're at war over in Afghanistan.
They're not at war with us then in that case? I'm just saying, if you're going to say that saying God is great before you go into battle or you do an act, you literally sacrifice your life, and I'm not on the side of suicide bombers. I'm just trying to make a distinction. If you're saying that it's their religion that makes the killing okay, then I would think you would be offended since the Bible says thou shalt not kill and makes no variation on that statement. Does not say subsection B, if at war and the guy's got a bayonet, you can shoot him in the leg. It's just thou shalt not kill, period. But we say, you know, God bless our troops and God is on our side and this is a crusade in the words of George Bush, and that's not the same thing as yelling Allah Akbar to some degree?
I don't see any comparison there. I mean, you look at
the shooter,
Germany, just 2 weeks ago in Germany, the guy yelled Allah Akbar before he killed two of our servicemen, one
right.
from which my home state here.
Understood.
Times Square bomber, the Christmas Day bomber. Do you not see a connection to the, I mean, that's what blows my mind is that you guys.
Do you not see a connection between anti-government white extremists in this country having more acts of.
What are you going to bring up 1990, Timothy McVeigh? That's all you guys have is one thing from 1994.
One thing from 1994. There was a bomb put on a park bench in front of on MLK Day by a white supremacist a month ago.
Yeah, and he should be prosecuted.
He is, as are, by the way, the Muslims who've done acts in this country, and many of them have been turned in by other Muslims.
There was a bomb in Portland over Christmas that a Muslim extremist tried to blow up a crowd there. I mean, you can give me one or two. I can just reel off 10.
That Muslim extremist, by the way, that triggered a device. He was a teenager. Triggered a device given to him by an FBI informant, and they tracked him. There was no actual real bomb. The only real bomb that was released in the Portland area was an actual bomb built by a white supremacist and put on a park bench where people supporting racial equality in this country would be walking by peacefully assembling.
Yeah, well, and I hope he's prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
As do I.
Yeah, but my bottom line I want to say is America sees how you guys work. You try to paint people that don't agree with you as racist, stupid, idiot, and we're not going to fall for it anymore. I mean, it's just an agenda that you guys have, and
so you're
it's not going to
okay.
work anymore.
So all right. So instead of speaking in generalities, and we only have about a minute left where we have to take a break.
Right.
Do you consider yourself racist?
No.
Okay. Do you consider the Muslim religion a threat to you in any way?
Yeah, I think Muslim extremists, absolutely. But I think the
okay.
mainstream media
does,
is a great
does David Koresh America. Does David Koresh the Jim Jones do they qualify as Christian extremists?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a Christian, and yeah, they are absolutely I do not,
okay.
connect with them at all.
Okay. Well, then, would you agree that both of those religions, both are Abrahamic traditions, by the way, come from the house of Abraham, Allah and the Hebrew God and the Christian God are the same guy? The argument between Christianity, Judaism, and Islam is that one has a prophet, the other has a savior, Messiah specifically, and one believes that the Messiah has not come yet. This is the only variation. The actual God itself is based on the same original books.
So you keep on bringing up David Koresh. I mean, bring up something
Wait a minute.
In the last 15 years. I mean, you guys have like two things from the 90s, and that's all you have, and you constantly bring
it up. I just brought up a guy from a month ago, a white supremacist, who was trying to blow up an MLK parade.
Okay, well, one thing then, one thing.
All right, tell you what, after the break, I'll bring up all kinds of white supremacist and Christian extremists just to satisfy this guy's idea that somehow there's parody in the world. Interesting. We'll be back right after this. I'm Hal Sparks. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Making the case that the only non-Muslims who have done anything, that's a threat to America in the last, was over a decade ago, and man, I keep harping on it. Meanwhile, if you go to the Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLCenter.org, you can see umpteen examples. Here's the most recent one. Three men arrested in 2010, and they have been the latest right-wing fanatics inspired by to murder threats of violence by conservative Fox News commentator Glenn Beck's charismatic and sometimes end-times-focused diatribes, according to the family members and attorneys. Kenneth Kimbley, the self-proclaimed leader of the Brotherhood of American Patriots, apparently interpreted Beck's rants as a call to action. At the time of his arrest in July, after discussing attacks on local bridges with a federal undercover agent, the 58-year-old had 20,000 rounds of ammunition, a stock of firearms and materials to construct grenades, according to court documents. He also conveyed threats against President Obama to the agent, describing extensive booby traps he had built, and proclaimed his militia would resist in the event the government started rounding up patriots. That's a mainstay claim among militias driven by conspiratorial ideologies that accuse federal agencies of preparing concentration camps to one day round up well-meaning patriots. Kimberly pleaded guilty in November to unlawful possession of a firearm and attempting to make a firearm in violation of federal law. In his defense, his public defender attested, everything said by Mr. Kimbley is no different than what his idol TV commentator Glenn Beck typically states on the air and is protected free speech. So he was using the fact that Glenn Beck says these things, and therefore that's what makes them legal for this guy to believe. He just said these things. The same way Glenn Beck, the difference being is they had 20,000 rounds of ammunition, IEDs that he was building, and a plan to blow up bridges. Guessing that dude doesn't own a Koran other than a to use as a fire starter. There are umpteen examples of them. Let's see. Man accused of shooting at police allegedly targeted liberals. Byron Williams, if you'll recall, one of the more popular ones. He was driven by Glenn Beck, his belief in what Glenn Beck was saying, to put a bunch of weapons in the trunk of his car and drive to the Tides Foundation because they made a video that showed to kids called The History of Stuff that keeps kids from buying crap from China they don't need in lieu of a toy they actually want to keep for a long time. And that was such a crime, according to Glenn Beck, that he had to mention them 26 times in about 2 months. And so Byron took that as marching orders from his favorite Glenn Beck, and packed all this stuff in his car, put on some body armor, and drove off to shoot a bunch of people who were unarmed in an office. Luckily, he had to get a little liquored up to do it and got pulled over for drunk driving, where he opened fire on police, and they were able to subdue him. He survived multiple gunshot wounds in a shootout with the police. There is case after case of this. none of these folks are Muslim. The idea that somehow that Muslim extremists are indicative of Muslims as a whole is as absurd as the idea that because there are Muslim extremists, they are, and there are a billion Muslims in the world, that means that extremists outnumber the dangerous among us. And the truth is, the numbers just add up in the other direction. So, actually, let's go to George in Chicago. Hey, George.
Hey, now. By the way, Sparks was my father's name.
Oh, right on. Well, there's...
Except it was the nickname he had in the Navy back in the day in World War II when every radio man was known as Sparks.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes, yeah. It was a very common one. And it got picked up as a name during that time, too, as an Ellis Island name, and then there were two actual... family lines that came out of there, one of which released their slaves early, were one of the first abolitionists, and that's why a lot of black people had the name Sparks or took it, because they were descendants of those people, and that's what you did back then. It's interesting that, because I find that I have relatives of color due to that fact. So it's kind of fascinating.
Well, thank you for the history lesson,
yeah.
Professor. You stole a bit of my thunder by bringing up the Southern Poverty Law Center. I've been a member for over 20 years and get their regular mailings. And I'd just like to point out to your previous caller who says that he's on Twitter and Facebook all night long. He should really log on to splc.org, like you suggested, SouthernPovertyLawCenter.org, or their other website, but clanwatch.org. It's all one word, KLANWATCH.
Right.
And Southern Poverty Law Center and its Clanwatch project have been monitoring domestic terrorist and hate groups for decades, and they've developed some of the best intelligence sources in the business. The FBI, the Secret Service, law enforcement agencies all over the country rely on the information they develop because it's virtually almost always reliable and detailed. And they say, both Morris Dees, the head of the center, and his associate, Mark Potok, who I think Mark has been interviewed on Stephanie's show at some point, that since Barack Obama became president, in fact, since before he became president, when it looked like he was going to become president, the explosion of activity among the right-wing, racist, Christic hate groups has just multiplied on itself.
And the way they're going to get back at Barack Obama is to blow up bridges locally. Like these guys,
right.
I mean, if you go to Media Matters for America, you can track a lot of the stuff that Beck has said, and its direct relationship to guys who have, David Brock said Beck has actually been responsible for 3 thwarted assassination attempts that were very specific. And this is, my only argument is not that there aren't extremists on both sides, it's just you can't disappear the extremists on your side by claiming the other side has them or that you're outnumbered. It's absurd, especially if you're just going to ignore the reality. Thanks so much for the call. We got to take a break. I'm Hal Sparks. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-12 is our number.
I emerged in London rain and you waiting there, swimming through college.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show, where things are going helter-skelter. It is a particularly good tie-in, I think, to what we were talking about. And it's hard to have a conversation with somebody who just has a major blind side to any element of another person's point of view. And that's what you deal with a lot of times, especially if you're talking to Fox viewers. You know, they really do, and we've got a ton of calls about this. It's fascinating. Let's go to Mike in Detroit. Hey, Mike.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to make 2 points, and hopefully the guy who was talking about the Muslims is still listening.
Right.
I would like him to apply the exact same litmus test to white teenagers that shoot up their high schools.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and look, over just the last 10 years, Columbine, Paducah, Kentucky, Jonesboro in Arkansas, there was one in Mississippi. Now, these were done by young white teenagers. Mm-hmm. I don't fear white teenagers in general. because I know that the majority of them don't shoot up their schools.
Right.
Now, seeing that there is a billion Muslims, the majority of them don't blow people up either. The other thing, when you were talking about just sheer ignorance, and this is one that's just a personal thing for me,
mm-hmm.
you brought up the point, and I'm glad you did, of educating people about the God of Abraham and who they are.
Right.
That so many Christians in the United States don't even realize that the word God is not a proper noun and
right.
does not exist if you don't speak English. So if you were a person who just spoke Spanish as your primary language, you would use the word Dios.
Right.
If you spoke German, it's something like Gott.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, if you are a Christian and you are a Muslim, I mean, and you are a person whose primary language is Arabic,
yeah.
which there are plenty of Christians whose first language is Arabic, you would still say Allah.
Right.
And they would immediately say that you're talking about a different God.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of ignorance drives me crazy. So the stupidity argument is true, not for all conservatives.
But I mean, the ones point, who are willfully ignorant about their own point of view, you know, it's based, I mean, and this is why, you know, he brought up that we're always attacking, you know, you got to attack Sarah Palin and blah, blah, blah. Well, she's indicative of this thought form.
I will say this about Sarah Palin specifically, not conservative. Her points that she make, the arguments and the things that she say are factually incorrect, not true or dumb. I'll give you an example. Michelle Bachmann made a case that Barack Obama was spending something like $100 million on a trip overseas.
Right.
It was factually not true. And one of the things that drives me crazy about a lot of the conservatives, they mistake political correctness with factual correctness. You correct a conservative and you let them know that a person from Iran is not an Arab.
Right.
They're Persian.
They're Persians,
you let
right.
them know that a Sikh is not an Arab.
Mm-hmm.
They say you're being politically correct. That is a factual correct statement. The indigenous people of North America are not Indians. So when you correct them and say that they're not Indians, they're from Asia, they say
right.
you're being politically correct. No, that's factual correctness. They mistake factual correctness, political correctness, with intellectual laziness all the time.
Well, yeah, they had, you know, there was a big bill put forward where they were, somebody put forward this thing, a scholarship for whites only. Remember that in Texas just recently?
Yes,
and
yes.
they put in that you'd only have to be, I think, a quarter Caucasian, that's how they put it. Not recognizing that because of the Caucasus Mountains and where that concept of Caucasian comes from, that actually every East Indian person would qualify.
Exactly.
They would, because technically they're Caucasians because of the region from which they come. The ignorance of them based on everything is what they see and not what they and what they feel based on what they see, not on the reality beyond that initial blink reaction, which is largely based on false information.
And I would ask you to do one thing. As people talk about profiling Muslims, if you ask them, would they be comfortable with at every school that their white teenagers are separated out from the rest of the population and held to a different standard and searched much more intensely, looked at with much more suspicion, because when you go back and you look at the shootings that have happened in our high schools,
yep.
they have primarily been done by
20 to
white
1.
Teenagers.
20 yep. to 1, right. It's exactly the case, but they'll say that that's different because it's not an ideology. Let's just say it's strictly cultural. Maybe you can just say, you know, it's not that physically white teenagers are mentally incapacitated in some way, but we do believe the culture they're raised in, a la their home religion, as it were, is the thing that drives them to do this.
You could even just say just appearance, because this is one of the things that they say
yeah.
to you. The people that are attacking us, they look a certain way. Okay,
right.
Well, the people that are shooting up our high schools
look
randomly,
a certain way. Right.
Yeah. So would you support their backpacks being searched, them being pulled aside and let all the other kids go through? Because if it was Columbine, if it was Paducah, Kentucky, if it was Jonesboro, Arkansas, these aren't a millennium ago. These are young white kids that are shooting up schools all over the country.
Right.
And we would not hold them to a different standard than we hold anybody else, and we should not.
Right. And I think that's an excellent point. And P.S., these guys are often for racial profiling. It's one of the things they do with a shrug.
Exactly.
Black teenagers specifically. And
exactly.
and ironically enough, black teenagers a lot less responsible on a statistical level for violence in schools than white kids.
Yep.
They may be caught with a weapon more often, but a lot of times it's the neighborhood they're in and it gets a lot more press because that's just how you have to live in a bad space. Whereas these are kids bringing their Glock they got for Christmas, in the case of Paducah, Kentucky, to school and shooting up a bunch of kids at random. So I that's an excellent point, and I thank you for making it, Mike. Appreciate it a lot. And Mike is, of course, in Detroit, Michigan. There's a lot of Muslims that live in Michigan, American citizens, really decent people, and it's a shame that they, you know, they're constantly getting this. Without at the same time, if you, I'd almost buy it if out of the other side of your mouth you said there are Muslim extremists and we don't know who they are, so we kind of have to take an extra look at them because I believe we're at war with them. But at the same time, there's all these right-wing extremists as well. So anybody who, you know, there's been 20 cases in the last, you know, 2 years where people who watch Fox have either planned or been a part of or have actually put someone's physical life in jeopardy. So maybe we need to watch all Fox viewers. Statistically, it holds up compared to, I mean, a billion Muslims versus the number of Muslims that shoot or kill anybody over the course of their life. There's actually probably a higher percentage of Fox viewers that harm people. I'm guessing 3 to 5 million of them hardcore. So whereas there's a billion Muslims and there's probably 100,000 over the course of the wars that we've been in that you might qualify as thinking they're just hardcore and extremist. I don't know. Maybe so. Let's go to Andy in Milwaukee because you've been holding on a long time, and we should never let, you know, as best we can, somebody in Milwaukee have to hold because you guys are patient enough. How are you, Andy?
Awesome. Lord love you there, Hal.
Thank you, brother. Whoever she is, I'm sure she does.
Yes, she's great. Okay. people that listen to Fox, watch Fox, listen to the radio, they are one or a combination of these things. They're either bigots, as you said. They are liars. They are morons, or they're just douchebags.
Well,
that's what they are.
Right. It's funny because I oftentimes, and you hear this about Sarah Palin when you call her dumb or stupid, which are, by the way, two different things. Dumb is curable because you just don't know. It's ignorance. It's something you may not be aware of something. Stupid is when you know something and you do the opposite anywhere. Anyways, the difference between Sarah Palin is a comfy like combination of the two. She is willfully ignorant. She stays dumb about things that make her uncomfortable, and she acts against things that she knows better than to act on many occasions. And that's what we get a lot from the right wing. That's why their 2012 presidential crowd is going to be so entertaining. Because you've got, on the one hand, Ron Paul winning all the straw polls. Mitt Romney still be considered the front runner. But you've got that Fox News guy calling in earlier saying that Mormons live in their basement with 100 days of food. That guy is not going to vote for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is a Mormon. So according to that guy's argument, Glenn Beck is a crazy Mormon evangelist who's talking, who pulls the strings of Mitt Romney? There's a madness level that's impressive with them. The difference is, and people wonder why I'm so patient with it, is because I really do want to see where the nutty part ends and where they really, what they find is really important. And a lot of times, you know, you're right, it just boils down to the fear of the other. The reason I use bigot is because if it was simple as racism, it could almost be cured by the fact that there's enough black people around that you realize after a while that they don't mean you any harm, and then you start to make friends with them and life changes. But they're xenophobic. Right. They literally fear anybody who's different. Color is just one way somebody's different. Culturally, people are different. They fear quote-unquote northern elites as much as they do Mexicans coming across the border, or, you know, black people, or you know, the Muslims who want to put Sharia law in their local grocery store. Like, this, you know, they fear everything outside of it because they protect this bubble of ignorance, and Fox allows them to do that by, getting back to our original point in the beginning of the show, not sending their reporters into the field, sending other people to do it, coming back with no footage or junk footage at best, and then they just talk over it as if they know what really happened there, or they pretend they were there. Go ahead. Yeah.
Can I make one more point?
Sure.
Well, it certainly isn't Christian. And it's not patriotic. And I would like to challenge them to put aside these things and start. I mean, I'm a patriot. Mm-hmm. I want all the people in my country to live well. I look around and I see homelessness. That's not Christian. You know, this is America. Let's help those that
who are Americans. Absolutely. I have a feeling sometimes they want to damage the country because they think that's the only way they'll keep the immigrants out. Like, you know what I mean? If we just make this place crap, maybe they'll stop coming. You know, it's kind of amazing. Thank you so much for the call, Andy. We got it. Let's see. Yeah, we're up against a break. And we're going to take a couple more calls when we come back. And then we're going to have a happy ending. Everybody knows on my Saturday show on WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk, I always have a happy ending. And I think you deserve it, especially after the clamoring day we've had. So we'll be back right after this.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. We are in the waning moments of today's show, and a fascinating conversation all started by Nick Robertson's outburst on CNN, and a well-deserved and awkwardly timed one, I'm sure, for all of them, but it sparked an important conversation. And in the last we had a caller who called in and said, you know, you got to just look at reality. You know, these attacks on people, they're all Muslim extremists. Okay. Tell me that sexual violence against children is not equal to the murder of an adult in a war theater or in, you know, in some sort of act of war. Pedophilia in this country, or pederasty, I think pedophilia is actually a softer word. It means lover of children, and that's not the case. Is a horrible crime because it goes, the impact of it lasts a lifetime. And we look at, you know, the child sexual abuse in the Catholic Church, for example, example after example after example of these, you know, priests abusing children. At no point are we saying all Catholics are pederasts and deserve to be rounded up or questioned anytime they're near children. We don't ask anybody when they want to teach in school, are you Catholic? It's absurd. And these are, by the way, the leaders of that religion. This isn't followers of the religion who've gone and said, I read something in the Bible, or my priest said something that I took the wrong way and said it's okay for me to do this. This is these are the linchpins, the corner points of a religious thought form. Not only the ones who are committing the crimes, but the ones who are covering it up, knowing full well that they were not only protecting someone who did this, but set that person loose on an unsuspecting community again and again and again. But at no point do we go, man, Catholics, you got to watch out. We should start passing laws, because what if they have, you know, if Catholicism comes to your neighborhood, they're going to try and legalize it or something like that. I mean, it's an absurd thought. It's the exact same absurdity saying that Muslims in some way, because of the extremists that kill in their religious name, are any more, indicative of a crowd than Christian extremists. Let's go to Ken in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Hal, great show today.
Thank you.
Oh, boy, I got riled up by all those right-wingers.
Man.
I had to get my two bits in, buddy. What you said there, you know, yeah, look at the population of prisons. The largest, you know, it's mostly Christians in prisons. Do we have a Christian crime problem in this country?
Right. Most of them have crosses and Mary on their back.
Sure.
Or, you know, all the white supremacists have crosses on them.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, another thing, too, the caller that was saying, oh, you know, how dare you call people racist and everything on Fox News or whatever. Well, you know, okay, if you use the same Fox logic, the chalkboard logic of Glenn Beck,
right,
Well, you can link Glenn Beck directly to the KKK because of some of the policies that the Mormon Church had up until 1978.
Well, you can even link him directly to people who work in, you know, in with this, the Concerned Citizens Coalition, which
sure.
is a you know, a soft white collar version of the KKK.
Yeah.
The you know, the KKK disappeared, and then the you know, at one point the NRA popped in to fill the gap early on in our nation's history. If you watched Bowling for Columbine, there's a lovely little cartoon put together by Trey Parker and Matt Stone about that very fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that point I was trying to make about Catholic priests, that we don't use that as an indication, even though these are the leaders of a church, and multiple times, and it's and it goes all the way up to the papacy. Like they've literally tracked it to where the current pope has history where he intentionally moved a pedophilic priest to another priest district.
Yeah.
To hide that fact. That's come out, and there's been apologies about it and all these kind of things. But we still do not say we ought to, you know, bomb the Vatican City
sure.
to sand, and that we should, you know, round up all the Catholics and, you know, and have them patted down because they'll probably...
Oh, yeah.
Here's a... I want to read something to you. This is from Raw Story. Youth pastor sexually exploited teens to, quote, help them gain purity. A former youth pastor arrested in Iowa on 60... counts of suspicion of sexual exploitation. 60.
Wow.
Of sexual exploitation. Allegedly told teenage boys he was trying to help them gain sexual purity in the eyes of God. 31-year-old Brent Duro, a former youth pastor at Victory Fellowship Church in Council Bluffs, turned himself into police in February after four young men came forward with allegations against him. Duro has been released on $30,000 bond, is due back in court, faces up to 5 years for each charge. Court documents show Duro told investigators he had sexual contact with boy with a teenage boy 25 to 50 times over a four-year period, starting when the boy was 14 years old. He allegedly told investigators that it was his duty as a youth pastor to help the teen with homosexual urges by praying while he had sexual contact with him.
Oh, man.
Now, that guy is insane.
Yes.
He's a pedophile. He's using the cover of Christianity and that environment where he could find these, you know, these children
mm-hmm.
in their most vulnerable, and he used that. I don't, and I'm not a Christian. I don't find that indicative of Christian behavior, and nor would I write
no,
off
not really.
All Christians about that. But I don't see that level of compassion, of respect, and of acknowledgement on the towards the eight, you know, the billion Muslims in this world, and many whom live in that guy's home state of Michigan.
Sure. And, you know, and another thing, too, why is it okay to question Reverend Wright so much, you know,
right.
Obama for attending that church and black, you know, mm-hmm. liberation theology and everything else? But, you know, oh, don't talk about, you know, the mm-hmm. you know, the priests or
absolutely.
And again, don't talk about the fact that, you know, blacks weren't considered equals in the Mormon church up until the 70s.
Right. Believe me, that has to be brushed aside. You don't understand. These people want to blow things up. Well,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to buy what you're told by one organization all the time, ad nauseum, that's the kind of attitude you're going to have. And
mm-hmm.
then you're going to, you can hem and haw all you want when we call you out for being stupid. Okay,
yep.
Thanks so much for the call and an excellent point about the prison population, Ken. It's happy ending time. We only got a couple minutes left.
Why?
I think I owe you, after all this, a little bit of a happy ending. Everybody likes a happy ending. States, 10 eastern states, got together in a greenhouse gas reduction program, and they have invested more than half of their carbon permit auction proceeds, about $404 million in energy efficiency, the group said today. New York, Massachusetts, Maryland, and seven other states on the East Coast, you know where all those elites live, belong to the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. And to meet that goal, RGGI holds quarterly auctions of permits that let the plants emit carbon dioxide. Basically, they created their own cap and trade system, and it's working. There's a company called Clear Edge that's making home fuel cell systems that run on hydrogen. That's right. They're finally doing it. You're going to have, last 30 seconds of the show, coming to your home is the freedom from foreign oil, producing energy in your house from an appliance, from water and solar. It's possible. It's coming. Everything they said wouldn't be possible, amazingly shows up once we start running out of oil. I want to thank you guys for being part of the show today. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. I will be here in L.A., and then I'll be in Vegas at the Hilton. We'll see you soon. Hal Sparks, the Stephanie Miller Show. So far.